Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, it's the 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for Thursday, November 8th. I have a crystal ball here.
All right, what do you got, buddy?
We're going to roll into the future. Ooh. 10 years from now.
All right.
Actually, Nameberry already did. And what they kind of do is they looked at... like
What's Nameberry?
Nameberry, it's kind of one of these companies that kind of tracks names, and they give you ideas for naming your children, if you're thinking for them.
They do data mining.
Data mining, yeah.
Okay.
And what they're doing is they're kind of looking at things today. And in 10 years from now, when people are getting married and starting a family, what will they be naming their children based on today's pop culture? So they're looking into 2028. They say by far girls will be named Charlotte. Harper will be for boys.
I wonder if Beto will be named.
Beto might be in there as well.
Beto, yeah.
They say that Charlotte is number one because of it was inspired by the Duchess of Cambridge, that's of the royal family.
That's nothing to do with a spider, a story about a spider by E.B. White.
Yeah, and Harper is inspired by the name of Victoria and David Beckham's daughter, which also could be a boy's name as well. They also say Amelia was popular, as well as Liam and Mateo are all going to be big here in the next 10 years.
Amelia, like Amelia Earhart?
Yeah.
I do find that there's a lot of there's a comeback of a lot of the more traditional names.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of find that refreshing.
I agree with you, Gladys.
Yeah.
But
I know this from my own personal experience. My cousin, her son's name's Dylan, and she was a big 90210 fan from back in the 90s.
So it wasn't Bob Dylan or it wasn't Dylan Thomas, the author. It was
Dylan
90210.
The character Dylan.
But it's interesting how they come back, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's
very fascinating.
It's kind of cyclical.
So you want to make some extra cash being a spooner?
Now,
not a crooner, but a spooner.
All right. Big spoon or little spoon?
Well, there's a lady named Cassandra Brown. She's in Boulder, Colorado. She says that she makes $26,000 a year by being a professional cuddler.
So that makes she's the big spoon.
I guess so, yeah.
I guess so. I guess it's really up to preference. What if I just need a little spoon?
Well, that's what she... that's only $50, not $100. She said that she realizes the importance of cuddling after she became a mom for the first time. And you got to really think about it. There's talk about weighted blankets to calm people and get them to sleep.
Yeah,
Thunder shirts for dogs, for when they're anxious. So, and if you think about it, getting a hug and that pressure kind of makes you feel happy, releases endorphins.
There's a lot of lonely people out there.
There is.
There's people that don't get hugs,
It's true. She says she has several 90-minute sessions of spooning, about $100 per session. Says that it helps develop the mind and regulation of the nervous system, as well as touches very important as for humanity.
All right. And remember, one of our listeners actually told us, remember, spooning leads to forking, so use condiments.
It's so silly.
I thought that was really funny.
It is funny. This is interesting because to this day, I refuse to wear a ball cap because my grandfather told me.
You'll go bald.
If I wear a hat.
And I tell you, if you see a guy that wears a ball cap inside, he's probably thinning or bald.
Yes. And I can tell you from experience, young guys, that is complete BS. I'm thinning like you wouldn't believe. And it really comes down to what I thought was genetics. And they did say that for the longest time, they thought longevity was based anywhere from 15 to 30%.
Now the male pattern baldness does follow the mother's side of the family.
Yes.
So that is genetically proven. But how long you're going to live has nothing to do with genetics, they're finding out.
Nothing at
all.
This
is all because of those DNA tests.
Yep, because of 23andMe, Ancestry, and those other ones where you put your saliva in the tube and send it for your results. So there's a whole bunch of data out there. And what they have found is that instead of the 15 to 30%, they was once crediting towards genetics to your longevity. That's down now to between 1 and 7%.
All right, so that doesn't really count.
They really say it's your environmental factors, such as your diet, whether or not you smoke or drink alcohol, and your wealth. They say that the more wealthy you are, you have cleaner food, water,
afford better
health care, and stuff like that. So it is, even though your grandmother may have lived to 100 smoking a cigarette, doesn't mean that you will.
Well, so if you're going to live a long time because you're taking care of yourself right now, like Chris is, You need to save your money. And Chris has another little tip how to save money right
Seriously,
now.
Seriously, yeah.
It is really good because, you know, if you're looking for big, you know, college, buying a house, whatever, you need to have a lot of money. And most Americans, or at least 21% of Americans, say they have zero money saved. Only about 10% more than that said they had about $5,000 tucked away for a rainy day. So this is kind of a mental trick to get you to spend less and save a little bit more. So here is how it works. When you have discretionary funds, like $10 to go watch a movie on a Saturday.
So you got extra money.
Right. It's not for rent. It's not for food. Not for the essentials in life. This is just because you're having fun.
It's like some walking around money.
Right.
Yeah.
$10 to go to the movies. Transfer $10 into your savings account.
So you're actually spending $20, but if you're going to treat yourself to $10 worth of something,
right.
Also save $10.
And they say this does a couple of things. It will actually make you reevaluate your non-essential products and activities you're paying your money on.
How important is this? Do you really want to spend this much money?
Well, and then it also, it really kind of it automatically adds to your savings at the same time you have discretionary money available. Now, they're saying, like, look, if you got credit cards to pay off, do that first.
Yeah, pay your bills
high
first.
Interest. But Janie's actually got a really cool web app that she's been using.
Of the ones you recommended too, Chris, and I actually use it all the time. It's called Capital, but with a Q, Q-A-P-I-T-A-L.
Right.
And it's got several features. You can set your own stuff. I have it so that it shaves 10% off immediately when I get a direct deposit over $100. But then also I do the thing, you know, the roll up, like where, you know, you spend $15.50 and it rolls it up to the next dollar amount, or you can even set it just to move $5 a day, you want to do.
And that's really good because, like you said, you take 10% off the top, it's like you never had the money anyways.
Yeah, right.
Right. And if you're taking even just $2 or $5 a day, that's like just a cup of coffee, depending on where you go, a day. And it's just immediately removing it for you. And the one thing is you got to kind of keep up because it takes it out like at the end of each week. So you don't want to suddenly have a chunk of money missing. So just keep an eye. But you can transfer it right back, you know, within the next couple of days, and there's no fees or anything, so it's really nice.
I had a family friend. This is the day when you would have a check ledger and you'd write checks,
but
she would always round up in her balance.
So there was always money in there.
But it was like that was her mad money when she wanted to go on a cruise or Christmas or whatever. She'd have all this extra money in checking.
That's the same thing, really.
Yeah, it was basically what it is. Thanksgiving, 2 weeks away. Of course, those brown, sad-looking, never seen the light of day and no one ever feeds me eyes from your dog will be peering into your soul. They really want some Thanksgiving dinner, or they think they do. This is actually advice from vets. They say, be really careful. What you might find delicious for Thanksgiving may actually be a headache for your dog.
What we're eating, they're not used to it. So it's not going to necessarily kill them, but it's going to make them sick and gassy.
Yeah, so they say that, you know, it makes sense. Dogs are carnivores, so why not give them a slice of turkey? Well, here's the problem. They don't eat turkey every day.
That's right.
And even if it's in a dog food, there's other things in there. You're talking about, you know, breast meat or leg meat with the skin, as well as all the seasonings and herbs you put onto it. They're not used to that. So two things are going to happen. One thing is that you might have that sound that will wake you up in the middle of the night. I think it goes like this.
Oh, man. You never.
Oh, yeah.
I never got out of bed.
That cat vomit
faster.
Sound.
You talk about you're talking about a smoke alarm. Just have that thing go off. It'll wake you up.
You never knew you could run that fast, did you?
And then the other one is that you're going to have excess gas being released by the dogs. And that, for some reason, in a dog's system is horrible to smell.
Their gastrointestinal system is not as long as ours. If you look at ours, the coil of and small intestine, dogs don't have that. So they can't digest things that we can digest.
They're all SBDs, too. So it's just horrible. So keep that in mind when we're giving food like gravy, mashed potatoes, stuff that they normally don't eat. It's going to really kind of mess with their tummy. And it actually could cause some tummy problems, anything like even to pancreatic.
Pancreatitis.
Pancreatitis. Thank you very much for some of those fatty foods. Bread, you wouldn't think would be a problem, but also it has that yeast in it.
That's right.
And that's something they normally don't eat. they also say be very careful about the dessert plate. A lot of fruits that are good for us can be actually toxic for dogs, one of them being raisins.
Yeah, raisins. I didn't really know that. I know grapes aren't good, so I guess therefore raisins aren't
right,
good.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So they say that if you are going to give anything to your dog for Thanksgiving, include something maybe from the appetizers. That would be raw fruit or raw vegetables like green beans, carrots, sweet potatoes, pumpkins in particular. You said, Storm, you throw your pumpkins out into the woods and have the animals enjoy them.
Yeah, the raccoons and the squirrels are enjoying them as we speak.
And yeah, I didn't even know you could do that, but I saw a video at Animal Kingdom where they did that for all the animals for Halloween as like a Halloween treat. They threw pumpkins out to all the wild animals, the giraffes, the hippos, the tigers. They were all eating them.
Yeah,
and so I was like, that's cool.
By the way, dogs absolutely love pumpkin. It is a treat for them.
That.
Yeah,
you see a lot
that's
of the dog
cool.
foods nowadays. They have like lamb and pumpkin. Uh-huh. You know, some things you wouldn't necessarily think the dogs will love. Oh, they love it.
But I can tell you, I've had frosty paws before. I wanted to see what it tasted like.
I know what you mean. You're not alone. Okay,
this is how I equate it. Dogs find frosty paws delicious. I tasted it. It's like licking a shoe.
Yeah, you were thinking ice cream. This is not ice cream. It's
cold,
doggy treat. Yeah.
Cold, nothing nastiness. So keep in mind how delicious you might think the food is. They're like, not so much. They don't really care. And then since we're talking about food and you're trying to keep slim and trim, how often should you weigh yourself? There's one thought process. You know, the more you look at numbers, and you're not really looking at lifestyle and your clothes are fitting better and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But there's actually been proof here to saying that people who weigh themselves every day are more likely to lose weight.
How about that?
Compared to those that weigh themselves once or twice a week, who in this study lost zero weight, those that weighed themselves 6 to 7 times a week lost an average of 1.7% of their body weight.
If I don't pay attention to what I'm weighing, I get heavier than I want to be. So I literally, before I go into the shower, I step on the scale every morning. But it lets me have a baseline so I know, all right, I need to cut back a little bit today.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah. And
I need to get a scale. I don't have one.
No?
No.
Are you going to get one of the smart scales that you probably would? That would sync up to your phone like a Fitbit thing.
Yeah, I do. You know what? Maybe that would work. I also use the app. There's like the MyFitnessPal app. And one of the things, in addition to the scale, I think it's the same principle, is when I, enter my calories daily, even if I don't necessarily stick to my goal, I'm at least aware and conscientious of exactly what it is that I'm putting into my body. Whereas if I go for the week without doing anything, it's like, oh, yay, party in my body.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know, you can slip up one time to have a cookie, and then if you don't weigh yourself, or, it takes, like, for me a couple days for bad habits to catch up to me on the scale. So you constantly need that, because otherwise you'll end up eating like sausage balls and cookies
cake. I think I wish every toilet seat had a scale on it. Wouldn't it be fascinating to know just how much you lost?
God,
I mean, come on. I'm not the only person that thinks that. I want to know just why. My God, look at that.
I know healthcare professionals that tell you, like, as you're wanting to lose a pound, to the bathroom first.
Let me tell you, it's important to look at it, because in Europe, I remember going years and years ago, the toilets have two shelves. One shelf holds the stuff, and then the other shelf has the water in it. And the reason is they want you to take a look at it, because that's part of diagnosing how you feel and how you are. And then you hit the handle.
Apparently, I had corn last night.
Wow, look at that.
I'd rather be more American and just live in denial.
My God, there's a corn snake in here.
Oh, my gosh. Bring the flashlight. And so there's our show for today. What is today?
We covered everything.
Today's Thursday.
November 8th. Yeah, of course, we're on the air live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 here on KTK.
ABC. See ya.
Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.